But right now, we talk to the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. Good friend of the show, Mike Maniscalco, is back with us on the Technicom hotline. Mike Maniscalco, how you doing this morning, buddy? Late night for you.
It's a great night, Kyle. Thank you. And I'm just a little upset that Quail Hollow didn't invite my partner, Shane Willis, out there for a little pro-am. I mean, I know that the pros don't want to be shown up, but for those of you who know Shane Willis, former 20-goal scorer for the Carolina Hurricanes his rookie year, I mean, the man just pipes drives 325. So I'm stumping for Shane to be part of the pro-am next year.
Oh, I love that. You said the word rookie right there. We're talking this morning in honor of LaMelo Ball's return to the floor in a big night last night against the Pistons. We're talking about the greatest rookie seasons in sports history. And that includes, encompasses basketball, football, baseball, hockey, you know, even golf. Greatest rookie season of all time. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot and say in all of sports history, but maybe the greatest rookie season in Carolina Hurricanes history. Mike, who would you give that honor to?
Greatest rookie season in Hurricanes history, I might have to give it to Jeff Skinner. Just how he burst on the scene, the goals that he scored. He set the rookie record for scoring. He makes the All-Star game. It was Skinner-palooza all year long. Shane Willis is second on that list, for those of you who don't remember. NHL, I mean, if I go in the entirety of rookie seasons in the NHL, hard for me, and there might be recency bias, but Connor McDavid delivered the goods right away as soon as he stepped on the ice. But if I could go outside of other sports, Randy Moss had one of the greatest rookie seasons in the history of any sport, if nobody has said number 84 for the Vikings at the time.
Oh, we got a few of those texts already this morning. I love that one. Let's get back to your team. Mike, five straight wins now. They beat the Blackhawks last night, 6-3, and they actually beat the Blackhawks back-to-back and wins over the Blue Jackets, the Red Wings, and the Stars in that five-game stretch. Last time you and I talked a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about just how talented, how deep this team was, and you know it felt like they could only get better, and it seems like they are, Mike. I mean, five straight wins, have they hit another gear over these past week or over these past 2 weeks?
No, I don't think they've hit another gear. I think that they just consistently stay in the same gear, and they've gotten back Teuvo Teravainen, which that is a big addition to this team, just how good he is on both sides of the puck, offensively and defensively. He's brought more balance back for the Carolina Hurricanes, and you can see it with the game last night with Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov. That's the number one line when they are flying, and they are flying right now. But then that also brings more balance because Marty Natchez can play with Vincent Trocheck and, you know, Niederreiter. And then that will put Jesper Foss with Warren Fogel and the captain Jordan Staal, who's had an offensive renaissance this year. And then the energy line, the fourth line for the Canes, has been great as well. But, no, they haven't hit another gear. They have just been in this gear pretty much all year, Kyle. And I think that's why they're such a difficult opponent to play. And I think I've said it on your show and a few others, they don't change how they play. Their effort never changes. And they've had a few periods here and there that aren't great. You know, that nobody's going to play phenomenal for, you know, in this case, you know, 56 games this year. But the way that this team plays night in, night out, game in, game out, with their effort, they never wane off of the effort. And that's why they're leading the NHL in points right now.
So with three games left to go in the regular season, we know this team is leading its division right now, and I know some want to talk Stanley Cup, others, you know, maybe a little bit cautious to do so. But over these next three games, what's at stake, you know, both in terms of, you know, seeding, but also maybe a path to a run, to a Stanley Cup opportunity?
Well, the two things that are at stake are exactly what you just said. One is winning the Central Division, which is key because the way the playoffs are set this year, one plays four, two plays three in the division, and then it's a division playoff to get to what will be a Final Four that then will be based on points. So they'll reseed after the division playoff. So you want to be the number one team in the league. You want the President's Trophy. And, you know, everybody always asks me this one question. And in fact, in my talk show host days, Kyle, you know, you'd be like, well, who do you want to play? And the players are never going to tell you we want to play this or play that. I did have a coach one time tell me, I go, you know, who do you want to play in route to win a title? And he goes, give me the, you know, five or six easiest teams that I can possibly beat to win. And that's what you want. You want to match up against the teams that you are better than. So if you're the Canes, you want to play the four seed in the first round. You're going to get either Tampa or Florida in the second round, and that's going to be just a tremendous matchup. If people aren't hockey fans, watch the second round series if it happens to be Carolina and Tampa or Carolina and Florida. And you'll be a hockey fan after that. And then you want the lowest remaining seed in the semifinals to get to the Stanley Cup. So that's what's at stake in these last three games for the Canes.
Mike Maniscalco, the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. He's with us on the Technicom hotline. Last time we spoke, you were talking a bit about the goaltending depth on this team, and I think we've seen that throughout the season. But and I do think I know the answer to this, but I'm curious. I know Peter Mrazek came back last night from injury. He's a name that probably the casual fans here in Charlotte might know better than anybody else. But, I mean, let's say, hypothetical, Game 7, Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, Peter Mrazek's in the net, right? It's got to be him.
Well, I don't know. We got to see how the playoffs. We have to, honestly, Kyle, I wish I could give you a definitive answer. By the way, Charlotte, if you want to talk about Carolina Hurricanes goaltenders, I hope that you more than casually know Alex Nedeljkovic. I mean,
yes.
He won you guys a title down there. So that's a name that I look at. And the way that Nedeljkovic has played this year, it would be hard for me to say that it won't be him for Game 7. And you go back to the 2005-06 season when the Canes won the Stanley Cup. I think if heading into the playoffs you asked me that question in 2005-06, Kyle, everybody would have said, oh, it'll be Martin Gerber, who's the goaltender in Game 7, right? Well, it was Cam Ward. And in this situation here, and that was a rookie year for Cam, this situation here, you know, going to Game 7, Rod Brind'Amour showed us that he'll play the goaltender who he feels, A, deserves the chance to play, but, B, gives the team the best chance to win. So, I'm not saying it's a coin flip, but I don't think that it's absolutely 100% certain it's going to be one guy over the other if the Canes get to Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Does Rod Brind'Amour have any sort of advantage? I mean, look, there are some great coaches in the NHL, but, you know, Rod being a former player, he's not the only one. But, I mean, when you get into crunch time and you got a guy there on the bench who's been there, he's done it, he's seen it both from the bench and on the ice. Is there any advantage Rod Brind'Amour has over there when he's leading his team, you know, that he has over the opponent on a nightly basis that maybe we just don't see or think much about?
Yeah, you just touched on it. Because he has, I think, the best feel of any coach in the National Hockey League right now, of who to send over the boards, how to put them over the boards, what to ask them to do when they get there, when to change up, when to match up, things that he's looking for. And it comes from his playing days. It also comes from how, you know, as a assistant coach, he was just a sponge watching things of what to do, how to coach, how to get better. Yeah, he has that advantage, I think, over everyone. He won't admit it. There are some great coaches in the league. I mean, the guy down in Florida, Joel Quenneville, he's got a couple of Stanley Cup rings, three of them. That's a guy who knows how to match up, and, you know, while his playing days are from the 80s, he's a guy who knows how to, you know, get what he wants out of his players and matchups. But just the feel and the read that Rod Brind'Amour has when it's time to send a guy over the boards, when it's time to make a change or tell the guys how to keep the shifts at a certain length. And that's something that can't be taught. You have to have it in you. And know the flow of the game, and that's going to be a huge advantage for the playoffs. And now that he's got two postseasons under his belt, he's absolutely going to be ready for this run here because he knows he's got a special piece.
You know, Mike, before I let you go, being here, and you know this as well as anybody, being here and having to cover both the Panthers and the Hornets on a pretty much full-time basis, it's hard to keep up with another team as much as we keep up with the two here in the Queen City. But, you know, I love talking to you about this team, and I've learned a ton about the game and the league and, of course, the Hurricanes. But the injury situation in your league is what I'm curious about because we were just talking about the NBA, the rash of injuries across the league. It's been brutal in the NBA, especially the last several weeks. And we just saw the month of April rack up more pitcher injuries in Major League Baseball than the previous two Aprils combined. And a lot of this is situated on the pandemic, not playing last year, altered schedules. Is the NHL experiencing anything similar this year? What's the injury situation been like, and is it concerning?
Oh, yeah, it's been a war of attrition this year. And, you know, if you think about it, I don't think it's surprising. It was a compacted 56-game schedule, and you had players where if a COVID situation hit, a COVID protocol situation hit, you don't practice for, you know, 10 to 14 days, and then you get thrown into a game. And, you know, athletes can tell you they need to be regimented. They can ride a bike. They can train at home as much as they can. It's not the same as playing. So, yeah, there has been a rash of injuries this year, you know, from soft tissue injuries to major injuries that have hit. But I think it was expected. And, yes, the Canes have been bitten by the injury bug this year, but I have to give high marks to their strength and conditioning coach, Bill Burniston, and their head trainer, Doug Bennett, for working in concert, not just with the players, but with the coaching staff to say, you know, when to back off the guys for a practice day or when to push or when to go from there. And yeah, it's something that we've seen in the NHL. And coming down the stretch, I think a lot of teams, when they knew they were out of the race, some guys were allowed to pull the chute and just say, look, you know, we're not going to the playoffs, so let's just call it. the rest of the season and get ready for next year when things become normal. But I think it was to be expected. I think we'll see it in football. We saw it in football last year with what happened with injuries and guys trying to play through it. But I wouldn't say that it was an epidemic this year for the NHL. But, yeah, you saw a lot of injuries because there just was no time to recover. There was no space in between games. And you know, these are tough guys. And a lot of guys, I can promise you right now, Kyle, are playing through a ton of stuff. And now the playoffs are coming up, and they'll continue to play through it. But would I say it's more than a normal year? Yeah, if you look at the volume of it. But I think it was also to be expected. This is a collision sport, and there have been some big collisions this year. But I just think that the league and the teams did the best they possibly could with the cards they were dealt.
Love it. Mike Maniscalco, you truly are one of the best, buddy. We had you on in the studio last night during Hornets pre and post. You're great at what you do. We appreciate your time, man. We'll talk soon.
No, thanks. I'm glad that $5 went a long way with you, Kyle. I appreciate it. If they get you out on the greens there at Quail Hollow, remember, no, wear the soft spikes. Just wear the soft spikes. It'll do you well.
Mike, I wouldn't sully this beautiful course with my game. Just wouldn't do it. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, buddy. Take care.